Please join me in prayer. Holy God, we come today to hear your truth and be reminded of our own stories, our own history. Help us to glean from it what you want us to, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, be changed. Amen. So today we're going to talk about Naaman. He's less familiar than a lot of the folks we've talked about over this summer with our call stories. Did a few of you at least remember the story of Naaman? I think we have one. Yes. All right. It's okay, because now you've all heard the story of Naaman. Remember? Just now? Okay. Naaman is a really interesting character in Scripture. He is dynamic, to say the least. He's almost a caricature, right? Your classic villain type. He was a powerful military leader, well-proved in battle. He was an enemy of Israel. Indeed, he was a leader, did you hear this? In Israel's defeat by the Aramaeans. With such a track record, and based on what we heard, I think it would be fair to say he had a very short temper and a well-developed superiority complex. Did you hear how he treated the prophet Elisha? Okay. And yet he, Naaman, is favored by God in battle against God's own people, and then he, Naaman, gets healed by God of leprosy. Naaman wouldn't be somebody that I'd probably feel very comfortable around if we happened to cross paths. Probably a really big guy, at least as I imagine him, right? Muscular, maybe. Armed to the teeth. He'd probably killed many and enslaved many more. He's probably somebody pretty easy to provoke. Naaman, who was chosen by God to be victorious and chosen by God to be healed, and then presumably chosen by God to be imbued with faith and publicly praise the Lord. Naaman. Really? Naaman. I gotta tell you, I've been reading this all week long and I still don't understand it. Naaman? Really? Naaman seems such a strange choice, doesn't he? I mean, there were warriors all over. Why didn't God favor one of Israel's military leaders? There were lepers all over, including in Israel. Weren't there enough of them that God didn't need to spend God's time healing Naaman? I think that I do well to remember, and maybe you find yourself in the same boat. I do well to remember that Scripture teaches us in Isaiah that God says, "My ways are not your ways, says the Lord, neither are my thoughts your thoughts." I really need that reminder when I read this story. Oh, but Naaman, he was desperate, desperate for a cure. Willing to try anything, it seems, right? To travel cross country, willing to take the advice of an Israelite slave girl working in his house, even willing to wash in a slow-moving, muddy river, nothing like the beautiful, pristine waters, cold and fresh, out of the mountains where he came from. If you've ever been to Israel, you know, or if you ever have the chance to go, you'll see that the Jordan River isn't really much to write home about. It's a river. It's a little bit murky. The water looks a lot like the water in Lake Norman, which is to say it's kind of clear, but it's certainly not something you'd wash in and come out feeling cleaner than before you'd gotten in. And so after having a bit of a hissy fit, and eventually bathing in these waters, Naaman was miraculously healed of his leprosy. And he truly does seem to be affected in a really big way. Naaman returns home declaring that there is only one God, our God, the God of Israel. With his skin changed from leprous to whole, Naaman seems changed as well. Changed into a believer in and follower of the Lord our God. He is overcome. And he can't help but blurt it out again and again and again throughout his journeys. He's overcome with the wonder, with the awe. And I think most of all, maybe he's overcome by the surprise of God's willingness to heal him. God is remarkable, you know? Ineffable, unpredictable. God continually chooses those who we don't expect. And I don't know about you, but I never seem to get used to it. What a strange person to call on, to call up, to be the one to declare that there is no God except the God in Israel. Naaman, the foreigner, the invader, the conqueror. Naaman, who we really don't even hear much about ever again outside of this incident. I would have counted him out long ago. As an important leader among the enemies of God's people, I would have assumed that Naaman was an enemy of God. And yet Naaman is chosen to be God's voice out into the world. Naaman is chosen to be God's follower and receive God's grace and live as one of God's own, changed because of an encounter with God. We know it, but it is worth repeating and repeating. God's love and God's grace and to whom they are given ultimately has nothing to do with us, nothing to do with whether we approve or whether we agree or whether we understand at all. That's a reminder I need a lot, but I bet you don't. Instead, these truths have everything to do with God. These changes, this storyline has everything to do with God. Grace and power are revealed. The radical love and inclusion of God is shown in an unexpected, unbelievable, unpredictable way. And we may never be able to understand why God picks who God picks, or why God uses who God uses, but the story of Naaman helps us at least to better understand the character of our God. Because it turns out it doesn't matter why God does what God does. We need to be paying attention to the fact that God does what God wills. And our understanding doesn't even come into the picture. God's gracious act of healing Naaman was and is typical of the God we serve. God seems willing to engage all sorts of folks, connect with all types, the least, the last, the lost, the perpetrator, and the persecuted. I mean, the story of Naaman, in most respects, isn't an anomaly in Scripture. The Bible is full of examples of when God chooses those who didn't seem like the ideal candidate to serve the Creator of heaven and earth. God chose Sarah, who laughed when she was told she'd have children. God chose Jacob, tricky Jacob. Samuel, the confused. David, the shrimpy baby brother. Gideon, the coward. And down and down and down the story goes. And in today's story, maybe obscure that it may be, we're reminded that God also doesn't tend to respect human boundaries. Any of them. Class, nation, gender, race, criminal past, status as slave or free, politics? No, God is breaking into this world, calling folks up to a new way of living and serving and being God's own, and God doesn't seem to have interest or time in any of the, I'll just say, arbitrary ways that we have decided to divide ourselves. And so God chooses Naaman, who is arguably across every boundary line that any of us good folks might draw. But I tell you what, I think that this is good news for all of us. I really do. I think this is phenomenal news for all of us. We who live in a world that is not at all what we imagine that God wants for us. We who judge others, but who aren't all that God wants us to be ourselves. We who sit complacently as preventable horrors go on and on and on. Did you see the news overnight? Just about every night. My friends, none of us are beyond reproach. It is so easy to draw the distinction between, ugh, Naaman, and folks such as ourselves. We've put on our socially acceptable veneer and waltzed our way into our house of worship today. And so it is an easy line to say, about Naaman. But none of us are beyond reproach. We aren't exactly whom you'd expect God to have sacrificed God's self for and saved. None of us. We are sinners, and yet we are welcome. We are citizens of God's kingdom and serve our Lord and our God. God chose us. God lived among us and died for us. And 3 days later, God rose for us, defeating the power of sin and death for us. For us. The unlikely chosen. So how does this work out for us in our lives, being the unlikely chosen, or considering the fact that God just keeps surprising us in who God calls up and who God calls out and who God brings in? Our call may be like the disciples, where God says, leave your things, leave your father, come on, follow me. We have to stay vigilant, my friends. We have to pay attention because our call might not be like that at all. We might be called to do something that we don't think suits us, something that isn't convenient or even isn't practical. Wash in the Jordan River and shout the good news from the rooftops. Leave it all behind and follow me. Who knows? You may not understand it. You may not ever understand it. You may not even like it. But God will use an unlikely person for a task. And it means that we never know. We never know. Do not count yourself out. Do not count the people around you out, but also do not count the people who do not sit in this space out. Out of anything. Certainly not out of the reach of the God who works in our world. Don't count yourselves out. We cannot count anyone out. And that's good news enough for today. Thanks be to God. Amen.